Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
In John chapter 2, the Bible tells us, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Now think about it. Jesus said to them, in verse 7, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. It doesn't have to be fancy when you have faith. It was just water in filthy water pots. These water pots were used for ceremonial cleansing. Basically, they were glorified wash basins. And yet, out of these wash basins would come an incredible transformative miracle, water into wine. Yes, it doesn't have to be fancy when you have faith. If you give God just a portion, it's incredible what kind of miracle that he can develop out of that. Even the tidbits of your life and the broken pieces of the trial and the fragments of the past, just water, if that's all you've got, what can he do with it? This is why we have to realize that the things that we're facing right now, they are not eternal. Temporal trials, seasonal suffering, days of agony or minutes of misery or seconds of the struggle in comparison to the eternity of a reward that we're going to have. Or as Paul would say, the glory that shall be revealed in us. All of the reviling in this world is going to be the revealing, or worth the revealing, of another world. And so, my friend, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, Psalm 30:5. So the tears that you shed today can very well be the rivers that lead you and carry you to a miracle tomorrow. So don't give up in the struggle. Humble yourself and pray. Get on your knees and seek the Lord. Be an altar builder. Don't just tear down the promises of the past because they haven't come to pass yet, or throw away the hopes and dreams that you have so diligently sought the Lord and waited on the Lord for. We often lose our dreams because we decide to do it our own way, but when we filter our ambitions through the Word of God and let that Word of God become a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, then we realize that all we have to do is fill the water pots with water, do the things that are obedient to the Lord, and he'll do the rest. He'll bring the transformative miracles in our lives. He'll bring the impossible to our doorstep. And sometimes we get in our own way and fail to see the revelation of John the Baptist when he said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, this is the best calculation of the cross. It's the math of true ministry, and we are often trying to add things up that will make us look good or step off into situations out of our own human stubbornness and a need to look good on our own. But when we realize this simple principle of humility, that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things are going to be added to us. But we have to be willing to subtract stubbornness. We have to be willing to be minus our own emotions of self-gratification and self-glorying or aggrandizement. Because when it's all said and done, we all know that God is really the only one who can be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We can't reward ourselves. We don't have the capacity to truly save ourselves. Not in the sense of eternal salvation and the blood of Jesus that it takes to cleanse us. We couldn't do that for ourselves. We needed Almighty God. And so when he increases, it also increases the possibility for me to have my dreams come true, or even better yet, for God's dreams for my life to come true. And yet we live in a world where some are going to take offense and others are going to be offense. They're going to stand strong. They're going to be a barricade against all of the beggarly elements of the world and the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Many are going to walk away. You think about in John chapter 6 when Jesus had basically scolded the crowd because they were only interested in the sensational. They wanted the miracles. They wanted to see the lame walk. They wanted to see the blind dance about because their eyes had just been opened. They wanted to rejoice with great enthusiasm over so many sick people being delivered and broken things being remedied. And yet he began to talk about self-denial and how they were going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And of course, this wasn't talking about cannibalism. It was talking about that relationship connection to God through the work of the cross that Jesus was destined for. And yet the Bible says in John 6:66, which is the mark of the backslider, many turned away from following him. And so there are many who, when they come to the straight and narrow, when they stand at the gate of righteousness, when they see the price that has to be paid, and oh, how worth it it's going to be, because it's a crown of righteousness laid up for those that will make that choice, that will walk that journey, that will choose that path of righteousness for his name's sake. But some, when they see it, they decide to go on that broad way of destruction. Now, of course, they don't know that it's going to be destruction at the start. They think in a euphoric sense that it's going to be satisfying and gratifying, and that they're going to get to do whatever they want to do and have what they want to have and pile up all the possessions of the world that they want to, and yet they're going to be sorely disappointed because it's a broad way that leads to destruction, and they could have gone the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Now you think about it. If talking about the straight and narrow path that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 7 was only about the conditions of the road, then you might say, well, this is too religiously restrictive. Who wants to live that kind of narrow-minded religious lifestyle? But it was a path that led to life. The destination of the road was more important than the width or the condition of the road. At that point, if it leads to life, does it really matter if it's a gravel road, if it's a dusty path, if it's paved with asphalt or concrete, or if it's rugged terrain, if it's bumpy? You know, what difference does it make? Because it's leading to life. And so many people are walking away from the truth and choosing easier directions. At least they think it's an easier direction because it's a direction that has been put together by the GPS system of devilish doctrines and seducing spirits and Jezebel, apostolic anti-authority mindsets, and they go on that way, and in their offenses, they end up choosing ways of destruction and disappointment, when if you'll just decide, no matter what, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do like these servants did in John 2, simply obey the Lord. It might be a simple request, or it might require everything of you. But if all you have is water pots to put water in, again, you don't have to be fancy when you have faith. God can take care of the elegant. God, who created an incredible universe and masterful visuals for us to enjoy in sunrises and sunsets and all the scenic places that we can go just in our world, not to mention other galaxies and those places that are beyond the stars. Then we realize God truly is in control. And if I'll just give him what I have, if I'll just obey him, if I'll just walk with him in the spirit and do what he's asking me to do, everything's going to be all right. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So those who reinterpret or misinterpret scripture attempt to lay a new foundation, and yet that's impossible according to Hebrews 6. The foundation, the apostolic doctrine, that's already been laid. That's why we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You ain't going to be able to lay another foundation. You're not going to be able to find something that works better than the formula of truth. You've got to make up your mind that no matter what you face, no matter what you endure, no matter how many adversaries there are, how many adversities you face, you're going to stand on the Word of God. And when you make your advancements, you're going to make them because the Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. It's just like in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas had been used mightily in Philippi to cast the devils out of a woman who made her living off of divination. And she began to cry out about these great men of the Most High. And Paul, being grieved in his spirit, spun around, pointed his finger toward that devilish cloud and cast that devil out. And all of the society was upset at him. All those that were making money off of this woman using her fortune telling and demonic divination skills, they got upset and drugged Paul and Silas to the magistrates and had them beat half to death and stripes put on their back, and then they're thrown into a prison. But the Bible said at the midnight they began to sing praises unto the Lord. And verse 26 of Acts 16 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Now think about this in terms of foundations. If the foundations can be shaken, then it's not the house of God, my friend, because we're built upon the foundation of apostles' doctrine, unshakable, unmovable. It is steadfast. It is the bedrock of eternity. So if the foundations can be shaken, it's not the house of God, it's a prison. You see, in a prison, the doors are closed, but in the house of God, the doors are open, just as the Lord spoke to a church in the book of Revelation when he said, I have opened the door that no man can shut. In a prison, the chains stay on, but in the house of God, the chains fall off. And I'm afraid that some have made the house of God a prison because they are chained to bitterness and offense. But oh, when God comes into a place that has been a prison and transforms it into his own house, it's no longer a prison. It's a place of praising. It's a place of liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So my friend, even in the worst of circumstances, even in the darkest of dungeons, even when you feel like you've been trapped by the same doubts, frustrations and fears and anxieties for reoccurring situations and days upon days seemingly without end, my friend, when you begin to seek the Lord, God will come in. It doesn't take much. He'll work in a prison. He'll work in a desert. He'll work in a lonely place. He'll work in the night just as much as he will in the day. That's what God can do. It doesn't take much when you have faith and you're willing to turn that faith toward God. Something else that we have to understand, we know it doesn't have to be fancy if you have faith. And then Romans 10:17 talks about how faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The problem is that many hear, but they don't follow. Going back to John 6:66, they turn back because there was too much sacrifice. Or there are some who hear, but they choose fear. Going to Numbers 14:9-10, when the people that began to hear the negative reports from the spies that went to the promised land. And they heard about the iron fences, and they heard about the giants in the land, and they heard about the impossible military it seemed like they were going to have to face and go up against. And there was just no way they were going to be able to have victory in the promised land. Well, then these same people, because they had too much selfishness and they chose fear, these same people tried to go another route to the promised land and were smitten by the Amalekites. Or you have those that hear, but they chastise the faithful. That's what happened to Paul and Silas, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, in Acts 16 and 18 through 23. And in this sense, there's too much sedition. So there's too much sacrifice, there's too much selfishness, there's too much sedition. And so there's not a hearing that brings faith. Rather, there's a hearing that leads to faithlessness because they're listening to the wrong voices. And then you have those that hear, but they think they have no future. So they get cynical. Well, God's not going to do what he said he was going to do. I've heard all that before. They become disappointed idealists. They stop praying. They stop building altars. They stop seeking the face of the Lord. And the further and further they get away from the sensitivity of the Spirit, the more cynical they become. And then they start downgrading everybody else's claim of miracles. And they start making others feel like they didn't really receive from God what they thought they had received from God. But my friend, when God gives you a word, his prophecies are sure. They are yea and nay. You don't have to speculate. There's no shadow in God. There's no variableness in him or shadow of turning, as the New Testament says. And that's why you have to realize that God's predictive efficiency is never beneath exact, never more than sure, and seldom satisfactory to all parties involved. Because when God does what he says he's going to do, somebody is going to be faith-filled and somebody else is going to be discouraged. Every time a man of repentance walks into the house of God and is filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, well, angels are rejoicing. But the devils, well, they're upset. They're pitching fits, and because that's another captive that's been taken away from the kingdom and the prince of darkness. So my friend, when you're going through a faith crisis, when you're going through tear-shedding tribulation, don't come to a place where you alter your doctrine. My friend, many are doing that. They're altering their doctrines because they're not building altars. You've got to get that spirit of Abraham in you and build that altar. And again, it doesn't take much. They built those altars made out of stones they pushed together, or who knows, old scraps of wood. It didn't take much. Remember, it doesn't have to be fancy when you've got faith. It may become that. It may become quite elegant before it's over with. But really, in the beginning, all you need are fragments of the past. All you need are the broken pieces of your life. And you come give that to the Lord. There's no telling what he can do with it. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase unto the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. So when it's not going right, don't pitch a fit. Get fitly framed. Don't fight. Get fitly framed. You belong in the house of God. You belong in the presence of the Lord. You belong in an altar of prayer. You belong among the congregation of the righteous with your hands lifted up in submission and surrender to the will of God. What you don't belong in a place of pride. What you don't belong in, or even on, is a path of pride that leads to destruction, or a broad way that leads to destruction. What you don't belong in is in a crowd of scoffers or a group of mockers. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So if you're going through something, remember, it doesn't take much. It doesn't have to be fancy. If all you have is water, and think about this, maybe it's the water of your tears. If that's all you have, my friend, you're gonna sow in tears, but you're gonna reap in joy. That's what the psalmist said, and I believe that's a prophetic word for somebody listening today. If you'll trade pride for prayer, if you'll trade your haughtiness for humility, if you'll come back to a place of repentance and see the error in your judgment, God will be standing there like the prodigal father waiting on his prodigal son to come home out of that filthy lifestyle, out of that pig pen philosophy. He was always waiting. So my friend, when you feel discouraged because maybe you're not seeing things like you used to see them, think about this scripture in Exodus 16 and 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Sometimes, friend, the changes in your life, they're border changes. You're crossing over into a different place in God, a deeper relationship with God. See, they needed manna in the wilderness, but the manna was just a hint of the greater gifts that God was going to give them, because they were going to a land that flowed with milk and honey. So maybe you're looking for manna that used to come to you like it did in the wilderness of your life, so to speak, or maybe certain adversities in your life, and it's not happening that like that for you right now. Be encouraged, my friend. You may have just crossed over into the borders of the promised land, of to the greatest revival of your life, to the greatest revelations of the grace of God in your life, and the milk of divine manifestation is waiting. The sweet honey of his holiness is waiting. Vineyards that you didn't plant and cities that you didn't build. The lifestyle of the promised land is not the same as the lifestyle of the wilderness. And while we are grieving over the things that we've lost from the wilderness, God's trying to give us new things and better things in the promised land. But one thing's for sure, my friend, we're going to have to be careful who we listen to. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Who is confirming the word in your life? You can't walk away from a shepherd in your life, my friend, when they have been a divine source of the word of God for your life. This world is full of human opinion. This world is full of persuasive philosophies and temporary opinions, but these opinions can lead you away from obedience to the word of God. And when you've been blessed because of your submission to the word and the will of God, why walk away from that to be cursed in a world that rejects the word of God? Why go back to a lifestyle or assume that you and I can just hear from God on our own without any man or woman of God or without anybody in authority, especially in an apostolic sense, because it was Jesus himself who had descended into the earth and led captivity captive, that ascended on high and gave gifts to men. He's the one that gave apostles to govern and pastors to guide and evangelists to gather and teachers and prophets of the Lord to do that great work of God, that fivefold ministry. And yet we're living in a generation of greater disrespect for the authority of men and women of God in this hour. Oh, my friend, don't be one of those. Come back to a place of humility. If you've made a mistake and you've walked away from a shepherd in your life, turn back around. It doesn't have to be fancy. But when you've got faith, you can walk back into the presence of the Lord. That's exactly what the prodigal son did. It wasn't fancy when he was in that pig pen, but he realized that the servants at his father's house were living better than him. And he had faith in the fact that he could at least go back to daddy's house and get a servant's portion. So my friend, whatever you do, be careful to who you listen to. Be careful to where you set your eyes. Set your eyes upon the Lord. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh help. Find that place of prayer. Be restored again to those areas that maybe you've been disconnected from because of offense or sin or bitterness. I pray in Jesus' name.
Still all that I do, no time to wait. This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.